Hello, and welcome to the New Homeowner Podcast. This is a podcast for first-time homebuyers who are building a brand new home. In our last episode, we talked about the new home orientation, but now it's time for settlement. And by the end of this episode, you should be holding the keys to your new home. Later in the episode, our guest will share a myth buster about a common assumption regarding your settlement date. Well, I'm excited to hear that. I'm your host, Jason, and I'm joined by my co-host, Amy and Kelsey. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you guys.
You too.
Have your kids ever taught you like something that was like a myth buster?
A myth buster.
Like my son came home from school one day and he goes, Dad, did you know that cashews come from a fruit? I was like, that's a lie. You made that up. He's like, no. And he had his whole song and everything. I looked it up. They do. They like grow on the bottom of this cashew apple.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So when I heard Mythbuster, I was like, that's really cool. They also are not technically a nut. They're a seed. So at your next party, if you really want to be that annoying person, just tell everybody.
I can't see myself doing that, but that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be committing that one to memory.
But you'll never forget that cashews come from a fruit.
No, probably not.
And that's a good tip. Kelsey, any update on the house? I know it's only been a week, I think.
Yeah, it's only been a week and we had a holiday, so not too much activity going on. Gosh, they've poured the foundation floors.
Well, that's pretty good.
So we have those in.
That's cool.
Yeah, and then it sounds like we'll have framing starting either this week or next. So
exciting.
Framing is good. Framing is like when your house gets vertical, it just, I don't know, the progress seems much more rapid at that point.
Yeah, definitely. So it's felt not slow, but I think having a holiday breaking up, you know, the start of the progress, it seemed to slow things down a little bit. But.
And Amy, what's going on in your world? Anything your kids have taught you? They're in kindergarten, so I'm not sure you're going to get a lot of good nuggets like I got.
Well, it was interesting. The teacher at the beginning of the year said, I'll believe 50% of what they tell me about you if you do the same in return about me. So I'm not sure if I get true stories or false stories sometimes, but I can't say that anyone's taught me anything new, but I am amazed at what they've learned. And the bad part is, I can't spell certain things that I don't want them to know about anymore because now they can spell.
Yeah, the old spelling trick.
Yeah, it's gone.
I like that. Just believe 50% of what you hear about me and exactly. I'll just do the same for you. That's probably a good mantra for today's social media age.
Truth.
Well, our guest is chuckling over here. She's dying to chime in. Lucy, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
You've been working for NBR, I won't say the number of years, but over 20 years. Another very tenured person on the show. So thank you for joining us. And you currently work for NBR Mortgage, but you've also worked with NBR Settlement Services, which is what we're going to talk about today primarily. It's the settlement process, which you've done personally hundreds, thousands of times. Do you have an account?
Subdivisions worth.
Subdivisions worth.
That's how I think about it. It's like I would do full on just every subdivision, but it was great. I love doing it.
And you and I have been friends for a long time. One of the reasons we met was a project years ago where we installed the software that's used to execute the settlement. Kelsey maybe didn't know that.
So I did not know that.
When you go to settlement, you'll get a bunch of paperwork that has numbers on it. And those are all correct, thanks to Lucy and myself. Well, mostly her.
Very impressive.
Mostly her.
Thanks. Yeah, that was
a lot of
work.
I just did a lot of computer stuff. I'll tell you a funny story. One time we were rolling out the software. We had to go office to office and teach everybody how to use it. And I needed a new router pretty much at each office to update some stuff. And one time she took the router out of the box and put a bag of gummy bears in it and then taped it back up. And I opened it up and like, there's like 30 people waiting. We can't do this without the router. And I was like, gummy bears. And to this day, it's just a joke. Like,
it is.
Why did you decide to buy gummy bears? Like, just totally prank me. It was great.
It was one of the best pranks ever.
That's awesome.
So let's get into the settlement, but let's cover first where everybody's been. So far, podcast listener, you found the perfect community. You've chosen the home that's just right for you. You signed a purchase agreement. In most cases, you made a down payment and you applied for a loan. You were approved. You locked your rate. You met your project manager and helped him build your new home. I shouldn't say help, but participated in the pre-construction meeting, the pre-drywall meeting. And just last week, we talked about the new home orientation. And now, roughly 3 to 4 days later, this last big step is the settlement process. And so there's a new person you're kind of meeting, your settlement coordinator, your closer.
Your closing officer, yeah.
Yeah, closing officer. So I know it's a little bit different in each state. In most states, you're working with NBR Settlement Services directly, but in some other states, there's joint ventures, by law, you have to meet with certain people. But let's just focus on the most frequent occurrence, which is you're going to work with someone from settlement services. But
correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes.
So walk us through kind of what's happening behind the scenes.
So the person that your closing officer would have probably already reached out to you, Kelsey. We know that they've already emailed you in your process.
Yep, we've connected.
Right. And so because they're part of the team, that whole, you know, they're working closely with your loan officer, your sales rep. So they know, you know, all the intricate details and they meet regularly. And so they're now starting to put together information that's going to be used as part of your final settlement. So they're basically that middleman person who's just coordinating and bringing everybody together and collecting all the appropriate documents that you'll need for settlement.
So we have the people in the room, so to speak, are the builder of the house. That's Ryan Holmes in this case. But if you're not building with us and somebody else, it's the same process. The lender, if you have a loan. Now, in our case, most of the time, like 90% plus time, it's our mortgage company, but they are still a separate entity in terms of organizing this. So builder, lender, the home buyer, if you have a realtor, they're involved. And then the county or the jurisdiction where you're going to live, they're involved because they're going to get involved in actually recording the fact that you own this property now.
Right, right. And when you say involved, I mean, they're not,
not,
you know,
there, but
not there.
It's
right.
One of the people we write a check to, or settlement services
correct.
Sends money to pay
to
for that.
Different
recording.
Jurisdictions, correct.
So maybe we start with like a definition, like what is the settlement? Like what's happening? There's two big components. I mean, overall, how do you think about this meeting?
So the settlement is, like I said, it's the coming together of, you know, all the culmination of everything that you've done to get to this point where you've got now your loan papers, you know, that you're ready to sign, right? And someone has to coordinate that with the lender because you're no longer going to deal directly with the lender. So the settlement company or a title and escrow company, they're the ones who are now collecting that from your lender, getting whatever is necessary from the home builder, the seller, and putting that together and setting up the event where you're going to now, the home buyer is going to come in, meet with you, and you're going to take care of all the necessary paperwork and eventually, you know, at the end, give you your keys to the home.
Right. Because up until this point, while it might seem like it's your home and you contractually have a right to purchase that
sure.
home at a given price, it's not your home.
It's not yours yet. Yeah.
The builder owns it. If a hurricane came through and wiped it off the ground, the builder would say, don't worry about it. That's our house. We'll cover it. We'll rebuild it. But after this meeting, now it's your house.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
And so the settlement process really is, I guess, if you boil it down, it's about money. Okay, we got to get all the money from the right people and give it to the right people.
Right.
And then it's about ownership. We got to make sure that it's now obvious to the world that you own this house now.
Right. But even before we transfer that title over to you, to make sure that that piece of land is free and clear, right? And that we're going to give you a piece of property that's clear of any issues with it. And when we talk about issues, you know, it could be other liens or mortgages against the property. You know, there's no fraud. There hasn't been any forgery that in the transfer of that property prior to your ownership, that none of that has happened. You know, we do a title search that basically makes sure that for all parties involved, that this piece of property is clear to be right. sold
because
to transfer over to.
We either own the lot or a developer owns the lot and we're purchasing from them, but they bought it from somebody at
right.
some point as well. Maybe a right. farm or maybe a golf course or
exactly.
whatever it might
exactly.
have been.
Yeah. And so we have to make sure that that property is, you know, is clear of any issues that would prevent you from having true ownership of that property.
So that's probably a good segue into title insurance, which I know is, I wouldn't say complicated, but it's a kind of an unknown thing that's on your paperwork when you go to settlement. It's discussed beforehand, but what is title insurance?
If you were to Google the definition of title insurance, basically it's telling you that it's insurance that you purchase that basically protects your title or your ownership of the land, right? And it's unlike, you know, car insurance or homeowner's insurance. So, you know, your car insurance protects your car, right? When you have issues with your car. Homeowner's insurance protects the structure and the contents of your home, but not the land that your house sits on. So title insurance is that insurance that you buy. But unlike other insurance where you pay premiums every year and you have to keep it up, title insurance is a one-time purchase and it's good for as long as you own, Oh. Own the property.
That's good.
Yeah.
I hate paying over and over again.
Right. You don't have to worry about it. You just have to, you know.
So even a tiny, even like a townhouse has very little land. You still need to have insurance on that piece
sure.
of land.
Sure. Well, and if you figure that if you take out a mortgage, every lender requires title insurance for them as well. So obviously it's very important because the lender requires their own lender's policy
right.
as well.
So if I buy a house and I don't get title insurance and my lender will... They'll want their own, or they may even require that I buy it. I'm not sure if that's true.
They require, okay. Yes.
But if they didn't have it and then someone came later and said, that's actually my lot, or you forgot to pay me, then you don't have anyone on your side to sort of figure all that out, all the costs and expense
right.
and expertise.
It's all up to you.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's up to you. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, I just never really understood the complexity of the title. So like, this is all new to me. I don't feel like a professional on this topic at all. So I feel like sometimes when it comes to things like this, my mindset is like, oh, what are the odds that that could happen to me or to my property? But I've learned the hard way in the past, just with a few like travel insurance, gotta get it. My husband laughs at me because I more recently, well, maybe 5 years ago, he loves to fish. I bought a fishing pole. And when I was checking out at Dick's, they asked me if I wanted to add the insurance. And I added the insurance.
Oh, I never do that.
To like my $40
either.
Fishing
no.
pole. So you
Kelsey.
Better. Yeah. So my point here being that I would be more than willing to make that one-time payment if it means it's protecting me against, you
it's
know.
Peace of mind, right?
Yeah, I could see exactly. you at checkout in your head, like, what are all the things that could go wrong with this fishing pole?
I think the insurance was the same cost as the pole itself.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I think with a house, it's more critical. It's so much more dollars.
Agree.
Absolutely.
Like even yeah. trip insurance, I don't normally get, but I could see that. Some people would want that. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll get into the details of the actual meeting. How long is it going to be? What do you need to bring? Will there be sandwiches? We'll be right back.
Hey, homeowners. It's Kelsey with the new Homeowner Podcast. If you ask me, the best neighbors you could have are your friends and family. Send them to ryanhomes.com to get in touch with your community sales team or just to browse local communities in their area. That's ryanhomes.com. Now back to the podcast.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're talking about the settlement meeting, and we cover the fact that this meeting really is designed to collect and distribute all the money necessary as part of this process and to eventually record or take record with the county that you now own this house. And part of that is the title process. But what about the meeting itself? Let's get into the details. It's 2 or 3 days after typically the new homeowner orientation.
Something like that.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah. So you have your settlement date, which your home builder division would have already contacted you, sent you a letter to let you know the date. And then the home builder is working closely with the settlement company also to determine the time, right? Because they want to make sure that, you know, we have an appointment and we know to expect you. And we're coordinating them with the mortgage company to make sure that we have all the necessary documents in time for that settlement.
So Lucy, how far in advance will our homeowners learn about the date they're going to settle and the time?
The date pretty early. I mean, the home builder division is sending out, you know, that letter. Kelsey, I don't think you've gotten the official letter yet.
We haven't received it yet. So I would think sometime soon here, maybe around pre-drywall.
Right, right. So, it's definitely, you know, well in advance. I mean, you have your contract lists an estimated date of completion and everything. And then it just kind of works around that. But the division is definitely driving that settlement date because they know when the house is going to be done.
That makes sense. And we've talked about so many things that are going on behind the scenes in preparation for this event, but what can our homeowners do to prepare for it?
The main thing is to make sure that, you know, they've provided their lender, their mortgage company, with everything that they need, you know, to make sure that they've got final approval on their loan and that, you know, they've taken all those necessary steps to make sure that that's also not hindering the settlement date.
So will they get a checklist of what to bring or what exactly they need to prepare?
Really, there's not much to prepare. I mean, what you need to bring, your proof of ID, because we want to make sure that we are transferring, we're selling the property to the right people. And then your funds, you know, we have to have good funds, which people will either wire in advance, do an electronic wire, or bring a cashier's or certified check, because they do have to be good funds. We can't take cash.
No sheep. No sheep. Bags of coins.
Yeah, that's no bags cash, of coins. No bags of coins.
Has anyone ever brought bags of coins?
Not bags of coins, but just cash. Like,
oh yeah, my sister used to sell. Someone bought a bag of cash once. She's like, "What do I do with this?"
Yeah, we cannot accept that.
My boys are super into Pokemon cards right now. It's one of the things that came along with kindergarten. It's a new world for me, but they act like they're cash. Yeah. And so we'll go places and they'll pull them out and try to buy something. I said, no, we're not quite there.
Would this turtle suffice?
Exactly. Okay, so you need to bring your ID, make sure you have your funds ready, and your checkbook, right? Just in case?
Just in case, for whatever reason, if, you know, there was, I don't know, a change that the amount you thought you were going to bring is short. So just odd things like, you know, if you move the date of settlement settled, so that means the proration for taxes or for your homeowner's insurance may have changed slightly because of the number of days it was originally slated for. We don't want you to go out and get a whole new certified check. It's easier to just write a personal check for the difference.
A couple $100 or $10, or it could be some amount. Yeah,
right.
Okay, so that's the mini checklist of what to bring.
Exactly. And then just excitement, because I mean, this is it. This is your, you know, you're going to get the keys after all of this waiting and everything. So I've always found that, you know, I would go into my settlements just excited for them, just because, especially if I've, you know, bought a house and I was excited. So I just kind of like to let that bubble over when I'm doing the settlement with people.
What are they signing at that point? So I know when I sign the contract, I'm sort of saying, this is what I'm going to pay. This is what the house should be like. What am I looking at before I sign that document or documents?
Well, there's an entire loan package, right? That the mortgage company has sent over.
Okay.
And that's a myriad of documents that you would have already hopefully had a chance to review, because if you went with NVR Mortgage, you know, they're sending you that loan package in advance just so that you have the opportunity to review those documents.
But you don't sign that until settlement.
At this time, correct.
Okay. Right. That might change in the future, but right now.
Sure, right. Well, with DocuSign coming around, you know, now that's an option.
So mortgage documents and then the settlement, what do they call it now? I forget. It used to be called the HUD-1. Now it's like a closing.
Oh, it's now called the closing disclosure. Part of the mortgage, the closing package.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Right, right. And then you have some, you know, title docs that you'll have to also sign. It differs from state to state. I mean, there are like certain states that have state mandatory documents that you have to sign. So it just depends on where exactly you live.
And you'll get the documents in advance. That's nice. I've purchased a few homes and I've never had that experience. And I always feel this pressure to read at the table everything I'm signing. But it's nice that you have that opportunity.
Well, technology has definitely come a long way, because when I started in this industry, we had to wait not only for the documents from the lender, but they had to come by courier, right?
Because not electronically.
So
the guy
had
on a horse.
Nobody might be on a motorcycle or in a car or on a bike, right? But it was an actual courier service.
So how long, if I've reviewed it ahead of time and I don't have a crazy amount of questions, how long is this meeting?
Well, it can be, you know, we've had some recently that they're saying now that they have a chance to review the documents, it's taking about 20 minutes, half an hour. Whereas prior to having that opportunity to review them, a good hour.
Okay. That's not bad.
You know?
Yeah, that's great.
I love that we have the opportunity to review, because as short as we can get that meeting, the happier I will be. I just want those keys in my hand.
Exactly.
Plus for, you know, a new home buyer, and these documents are, you know, completely foreign to you. And, you know, so you have people that you want to share with, like, I mean, you know, your parents, your dad, or somebody. It's like, oh, you know, dad wants to come in and he wants to look at your settlement documents with you. And now here's an opportunity, because you don't want him to come to settlement with you. But now you can say, okay, dad, here's, you know, here are my documents. You can look at these with me.
Now, what if I just want to ignore that, close my eyes and sign and say, here's here.
Okay, we wouldn't let you do it with your eyes closed.
Not eyes closed. Okay, not allowed.
No, we have to make sure that, you know, you're cognizant of everything that you're signing.
But I could trust basically what you guys are providing. And
yes, correct.
1,000 times out of 1,001, it's going to be dead on.
Really, I mean, these documents are this, you know, for the most part, the same. And the thing that you just want to make sure is that your name is spelled correctly, right? Everyone's name is spelled correctly.
That's a good one.
That's a very important thing. That the address of the property is the address as you know it.
Okay, I should look at it then.
You should look at that.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, that the amount of money that you're borrowing is the correct amount. I mean, the type of information that would differ from person to person is that. You know, that personalized individual information. But as far as the language on the documents, it's the same language for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, and I recall from my last settlement that the name of the person representing settlement services who's going through this
process.
The closing officer. They were kind of, you know, I wasn't required to read everything line by line. They were kind of talking me through and giving me a little synopsis of what every single document I was signing was,
right.
Which was nice.
Right. Right. Yes. They're definitely not reading through the document with you. Then your settlement would take literally hours if you had. But if, you know, we do have customers, if they decide that they do want to read every single document, even though they had been given the documents in advance to review, that's perfectly fine. That's your option.
And where are we doing this reading and signing?
It's taking place more than likely at the settlement office. Okay. Or the law office, depend, you know.
Okay, so it's like an office building somewhere close by, relatively close by, half hour or so.
Depends, I guess,
where you live.
It depends, yeah. Not every community that we build in is, you know, within a half an hour, especially where we are located. Think about it.
Right, which is all over.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so we have the time, we have the place, we have the people, everyone's involved. And then I guess the next question is, then it's over, shake hands, and either they have the keys there or you're getting them from your PJM back in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. and then it's your house.
It's your house. Correct. It's an exciting time. And if you take a lot of pictures, people wanted to,
I've seen a lot on social media,
handing the keys over or pictures with your keys.
Otherwise, it's a huge moment.
I heard somewhere recently where people were saying that you shouldn't take pictures
Don't post them. Of a close-up of a key, because someone can actually use that picture to create a duplicate of your key. Because you can order a key replacement online now. You can say, here's a picture of my key. I need a copy made. And they can send you one and it works.
That is crazy.
I would never think of that. So
A few people on social media on the Ryan Holmes group mentioned that. Like, hey, don't post your keys.
Wow.
Probably unlikely someone's going to do it. But
right.
I know, but you never know. Thought that someone could.
I know.
It's kind of scary.
I know.
We've come a long way since that courier. We and that have. Document on a horse.
Soon we won't even have keys. It'll be like iris scan or who knows, some sort of biometrics thing.
Keypads, but,
Yeah. What's the wackiest story settlement you can think of off the top of your head?
Probably one. It was winter and we had a home buyer who was expecting and really couldn't travel. So couldn't come to our office. So
expecting to have a baby.
A baby, yes.
Not a pizza to arrive or something.
No. So I volunteered to just drive over to their house and actually do the settlement at their home and everything, which was perfectly fine. But as I was leaving, it had been snowing a lot. And, you're at somebody's house who you've never been there before. So I was backing out of the driveway and here I didn't realize that it had snowed so much that there was a swale or a ditch on either side of the end of the driveway. And I did not back out clearly. And my car went into the ditch.
Ooh. Oh, no. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a fail.
Well, end of the story, the fire department had to be called.
Oh, no.
But
did they just wave from the window or did they come out and commiserate
really
with you?
No, the husband was really nice. He came out and he tried to use a tow hitch on his truck to help right side my car. And the worst thing is that it wasn't actually my car. I had borrowed my mother-in-law's car.
Oh, man.
So now I'm driving somebody else's car. I'm backing out of a driveway of a home I've never been to. So it was a perfect storm, literally. plus it was snowing.
I borrowed my dad's car once when I was 17. He's like, it was like a newish car. It was like a Hyundai, nothing fancy, but it was brand new to him, that big deal. Went to visit my girlfriend, drove home. A deer jumps out of the woods, jumps on the car, the hood of the car, smashes it to bits. I'm barely able to drive home. I pull up. He's on the front porch. It's smoking, like wheels wobbly. Like you couldn't make up any worse of an approach. And he's just like, what? It's like, Dad, look at the deer. The fur is there. It's antlers. I'm lucky to be alive. He's like, my car. It's ruined. But he had car insurance.
Oh, no. Yeah,
it was okay, but still, it was a big hassle. And Oh, I know that feeling. When you borrow someone's car, it's like, sorry.
Right, right.
I drove it into a ditch.
It was even more embarrassing when the ambulance showed up as well. And I had to tell them I didn't need their services. Right,
right. But our customers settled.
But our customers settled. That's and they matters. Were really
settlement.
Happy.
The settlement will happen.
Yes.
Let's talk about this myth that you're busting.
Yes.
About the settlement.
Yes.
Settlement
yes.
date specifically.
Right, right. So this myth is that people think that there's a huge financial advantage if you settle on the last day of the month. And so my tip is whatever date the home builder gives you as your settlement date, it might be Tuesday the 17th or Thursday the 23rd, take that date because then you have an opportunity to do a lot of things because of the fact that you're not settling on the same day that 90% of the rest of the population who's buying a home is settling,
right?
Right. So there's 29, maybe sometimes 30, if there's 31 dates in a month, other days available, take the date that the home builder gives you. Because then, especially if you have the opportunity, because you don't have to be at your current house till the end of the month, you can paint in advance, right? Before you move all that furniture in. Or if you've ever tried to rent a truck, like just a moving truck at the end of the month, the availability is ridiculous. There isn't any. Right? Because everyone has already rented the truck in advance, or even just moving companies because they're all busy because everyone has already scheduled them to move them at the end of the month. So you have more flexibility if you just, you know, on the earlier dates, right?
Go with the flow.
Go with the
flow.
Right, right, right.
Settlements on the 16th. Cool.
Go.
That's
yeah.
The 16th then.
Right. I mean, especially when you're renting, you know, vehicles and things like that, Fridays are also, I mean, people are like, okay, at least I'll do it on a Friday because then I have the weekend, which yes, understand, because then you don't have to take the extra time off. But then everyone, it's Friday is like another really popular date.
Like if you have to have lung surgery, you don't want to go on a day where the doctor's like, I've got 12 other surgeries that day. I'll put you in at number 11. It's like, maybe I'll go on the day where there's only three.
Right, right.
Is lung surgery a surgery?
I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure
probably.
It is.
All right. There's a book called When they describe the best time to do things. And there's a whole chapter about doctors and stuff. So I won't get into it. I'm not a doctor, nor can I give you medical advice. But you don't want to go in the afternoon or in July. Let's just put it that way. You can look that up.
Noted.
Yeah. Good to know.
So take the date that they schedule
that
for
the
you.
The home builder schedules for you. You're right.
All right. I think that about wraps it up. In the next episode, we're going to be talking with our warranty manager and discussing the warranty on your new home and all the behind-the-scenes details of what happens if you have a question about your new home after you've moved in. So thanks for listening this week, and be sure to subscribe to our podcast to stay in the loop with future episodes. You can visit newhomeowner.com to submit any questions or topics for future episodes. And if you have a friend who's in the market for a new home, be a good friend. Send them to ryanhomes.com. So that they can find new homes in their area and tell them about the podcast, because a lot of people think building a new house is too complicated. That's too hard to do. Let them listen to the podcast, whether they build with us or somebody else. It's not that hard, and you can build a lot of value by being the first owner of that home. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.